do you call this?
This is The Vibe.
You've got The Vibe.
My favorite podcast.
It's the WCLT Vibe Podcast.
Thanks to Licking Knox Goodwill.
I'm Sergeant Don, and today we're speaking with Trish Newcomb and Howard Long from the Licking County Historical Society and Lisa Rennes from the Tri-C Ghost Hunters. We're going to talk about a special event coming up Friday the 14th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Buckingham House, 6th Street in Newark. Are there really ghosts at the Licking County Historical Society?
But I'm going to talk about, the first body being buried there in 1812, and it was closed in 1850. It was a problematic property for the city, and the city wanted to repurpose it. They had to contact family members first to see if bodies could be exhumed from the property to Cedar Hill. One article says only 60 bodies were moved. Another article says only 111. So if that is the case, there's roughly still 284 bodies still there on the property.
Well, and it doesn't seem like it's that big of a property to have that many bodies.
There were 253 plots.
Oh, wow.
And then multiple bodies buried in the plots.
Uh-huh.
But back at that point, back in that time, You owned it. And
right.
You then had to maintain it. It's not like you have the cemeteries today where people cut the grass for you and trim and everything. And the property became an absolute disaster because it wasn't being maintained. And that's, I think, when the city finally said enough is enough. Mm-hmm. We're going to close it. They opened up Cedar Hill and then tried to contact families to get the bodies exhumed from 6th Street to Cedar, but it was at the expense of the owner, and at that point in time some family members had already passed on or just didn't have the means to be able to transport. There were some people that did raise funds to help move as many bodies as they possibly could, but that's when in 72 when they put the King House on the property, when they were building it for Heisey, that's when they hit skeletons and knew that it wasn't what they thought it was. But they also had brought in 3 to 5 feet of earth to raise the property up. None of the houses have a foundation. It's not more than 2 feet down. It's more of a crawl space at best.
Okay.
So, and what I learned from, Tri-City Ghost Hunters is that it could be the property, it could be the house, it could be an object in the house. You just don't know. I think one thing for me is the only thing that's really happened to me while I've been in the house, because I'm in the house a lot by myself, and as a door slammed really hard, and no one was in the house, but all the doors were closed.
Hmm.
So that's about the only thing that kind of freaked me out.
And this is the Buckingham?
This was in the Buckingham, and, they did their investigation in both the Buckingham and the Sherwood-Davidson house.
Mm-hmm.
So it just... there's things I can't explain. I mean, logically, I want to explain everything, but I can't.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the definition of paranormal, right, Lisa? Is you can't be explained?
That's correct.
Logically, I want an answer for everything, but not happening.
You don't always get that.
Well, and that was Lisa and I were talking earlier. Is like, that really is the definition of paranormal, is that you can't explain it. And the job of a paranormal investigator is to find out those answers and to debunk those things that happen. And when you can't logically explain it, it qualifies as paranormal.
Well, it's just like the landing at the upper landing on the Buckingham House. When the mediums were there, the medium started having a conversation with the little boy. And then this woman abruptly interrupted the conversation and took it over. And, it was like they were having a conversation back and forth. And it was just, okay, I don't have to think about this. And then even to this day, that room, when I walk up those stairs, it's just like my hair sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right outside of my office. It's just awesome. I don't want to upset these people because, I don't want more things. But there is one thing I did do in the judge's, Jerome Buckingham's bedroom. I have a I call it my offering. I have a glass, I have a bottle of bourbon, and with a shot glass on the mantle, and I fill it up once a week. It evaporates. That's my logical explanation at this point in time. It evaporates, but I always make sure that there is an offering for the house.
That's very cool. Sure, it evaporates. No,
that's great. That's great. Thanks, you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Howard takes care of it. He just doesn't want to know.
Or he sips very slowly.
Sips very slowly. Yeah, yeah. Get that little bolt to get going. So Trish, we're having a event at the Buckingham House Friday, July 14th, 6:30 to 8:30. Tell us about that event.
Correct. Well, we, of course, are going to have Troy C's Ghost Hunters there, and they're going to present to us how they go about doing a paranormal investigation. They're going to have all their tools and equipment and give us a demonstration of how they use them. And then they're going to talk about what they discovered while they were visiting. And that will be very interesting. Now, I wrote an article for our newsletter about what I encountered while they were doing their investigation. And there were a couple of things that, you know, were pretty interesting, like the smell. I've always heard that some ghosts you can smell. Well, I'm terrified of ghosts. I don't want to meet one, okay? I'm just, shoot me now. Get over it. I don't want to die of fright. But at any rate, they were doing an investigation in the kitchen, and I was standing at the bottom of the servants' back stairs, and I started smelling this perfumey smell. It was not a contemporary perfume at all. It was like rose hips and wildflowers or something. And it kept getting closer and closer, and I turned and looked at the room to the other side of the stairs, and nothing, no smell in there. So it was coming down the stairs toward me and getting stronger and stronger, and I was the only one there. Then the office manager walked by me, and when she walked by me, she was between me and the odor, and I said, "Donna, do you smell something?" And she took a big whiff, and she said, "Yeah, smells like an old lady." So we stood there for a few seconds, and it honestly, the smell just kind of wafted by us and went into the kitchen, and then it started going around the room, and people were smelling it, and then the smell would dissipate as they went around the room. And I said, "Are you guys smelling this?" It was really, for me, it was very exciting, you know, and I didn't get harmed and I didn't see anything. So it was more of a curiosity. So we're going to find out about that. Now, Howard tells me that he smelled it afterwards.
Yes, I smelled it the next day. This was in the Sherwood Davidson house. And I went upstairs and I was in the house all by myself, which I said after Tri-City Ghost Hunter had come through, I am not going in that house again by myself. but I did smell. I smelled what it was sweet. It was a sweet smell. And it was up where the indentured servants' quarters were as part of the house.
So, Lisa, it sounds like you scared everybody.
Thank you, Lisa.
I don't know how they did, how they planted that odor. But it, you know, it made perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, that it was an old smell, you know, and we'll find out.
Well, yeah, without hearing the evidence or knowing the evidence and being there, I mean, with that smell moving around, definitely, you know, could have been a spirit that encountered.
It could have been. I don't know. Lisa will have to fill us in on that.
She's going to let you know.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes odors are a way that they let you know that they're there. Maybe they're not strong enough to move something or make a noise, but they are able to, produce an aroma that is kind of out of the norm. So that just could be the way that those particular spirits are able to let you know that they're there. I think it's pretty cool. I think they were saying hi.
Well, it wasn't unfriendly in the sense of it wasn't, you know, a musty, ugly smell. You know, it was an upbeat kind of what you'd expect that a lady of, or even a servant at that time would have a smell because, you know.
They didn't take a lot of showers back at that point.
That's
in time,
right.
So they perfumed up just to hide the real odor.
Although, if anybody gets over to the Sherwin-Davidson house, there is a shower in the kitchen.
Yes.
In the little closet. It's a piece of furniture. It's really pretty cool.
It's off the grid kind of shower.
it's a commode shower, I think.
We're spoiled in today's world.
Yeah, so, and I had to stay over there at the Sherwin-Davidson house during this investigation by myself because we had left the doors unlocked and we didn't want somebody unusual to come in. And I was not nervous at first, but after that episode, I was a little bit nervous. And so I would walk around sniffing everywhere I went. And, you know, I didn't smell it again. It was gone. But it was curious. And then I tried, you know, I tried not to be scared, but I think I was trying. Obviously, I was getting a little hyper about what could happen by myself. Yeah, so kind of interesting. I'm still here. I didn't die.
That's good.
But you know, another cool thing that happened that I wrote about. So this is not a spoiler alert. Well, sort of a spoiler alert, but not the whole story. Is, and Howard mentioned it earlier, that the mediums picked up on two spirits, and the woman pretty much gave us a story. That made us feel that this was believable, you know? And she was very aggressive in wanting to say something. And we'll be presenting an explanation about that and what we're going to do.
What I thought interesting about that was when, you know, some of the names were mentioned and then you cross-reference those that were buried in the property. Only on a first name basis at that point, but some of the names that were mentioned did match up with who was buried at the cemetery. So, coincidence, not, who knows?
Right.
Oh, yeah, we didn't know her last name. She didn't give us her last name. She didn't, and we'll discover at the event, you know, what she did there, perhaps, but she was very vague about, you know, she wasn't a servant, she wasn't a Buckingham, she was, you know, she, we don't know who she was, but she was there.
But we'll find out.
So, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about investigations. What are some of the tools that that your team takes out to a potentially haunted site?
Sure. Well, the first most important tools are your senses. We used to rely heavily on electronic devices and things like that, which those are good while they work in conjunction with your senses. But your five senses are first and foremost the most important tool that we can bring. But as far as electronic devices, probably our favorite to use is a digital recorder. We capture most of our evidence at investigations on our digital recorders. And we call those EVPs, and electronic voice phenomenon, meaning you can't hear it in real time with your own ears. You play it back and then you can actually hear. And it's usually a whisper, it's usually faint, not as loud as, you know, you and I are talking, but it does have a little bit of a different sound. So those are called EVPs. So definitely everybody needs to have a digital recorder. We love digital cameras as well. We do not use our cell phone on investigations for pictures. The shutter speed is way too slow, so it will exaggerate. You know, if a piece of duck flew by, all of a sudden it looks like this ginormous white streak. So we actually rely heavily on digital cameras, real digital cameras. And we'll take several pictures of the same room or the same chair and compare them to see if there's any anomalies from one picture to the next. So those two pieces of equipment. We also use EMF detectors, which are called K2s and millimeters. Those can detect electromagnetic fields in the air. Sometimes those just pick up on natural electricity, regular electricity, plugs, appliances, lamps, things like that. So as with all the electronics that we use, we have to be very, very skeptical and really examine them and be critical of the results, because we don't want to jump to something being paranormal when there could be 10 other logical explanations instead.
Well, yeah, like the K2 meter, for example, you know, it senses that electromagnetic energy, and the spirits, paranormal investigators know that it requires energy for those spirits to interact with us, and you can get those false readings if you're by exposed electrical wiring or those plugs or something like that.
Absolutely.
So, do you use REM pods?
We do. I love REM pods. They don't go off very often, which, you know, makes me love them that much more. However, we have to be really, really skeptical. We have found that depending on the location that we are investigating, walkie-talkies set them off. So we make sure that we do not use our walkie-talkies while we are using the REM pods, because we know it'll set it off. So we have to really be aware of our surroundings, even outside of the building. Is there a police car driving by that is using the walkie-talkie frequency? Is there fire and rescue? Those types of things, because we have found when they go by, they will set off the REM pod. So again, you just have to be very, very critical and try to find the logical explanation. And then if you have tried to explain it with all of your natural surroundings and you still can't come up with a explanation, you could have something paranormal.
Well, that's the thing. There's most of it is that could. There's not too much where we can go, that absolutely was a spirit, right?
Correct. I wish they would. I wish the spirits would tell us, you know, without any doubt, hey, this is me, and I died, and there's an afterlife, and all of that. But they don't come out and really say that. A lot of times, they're actually very shy and don't want to be photographed, don't want to be heard. But it's those times, those rare times in between, where we capture things we can't explain, and even though we're skeptical, we are still scratching our heads trying to figure out what it is.
So why do you think they're shy?
I think new people in a new environment, if we go into a building for the first time, we're new to them. And they're probably not used to people actually talking directly to them and having them all these loud pieces of equipment. So I think that they probably drop back and are checking us out as much as we are checking them out, just to see, you know, is this a safe environment? What are these people doing here? And we always go into any investigation, whether it's at an historic building, someone's home. We always go in very, very respectful. We introduce ourselves. We try to earn their trust and make them relax around us. And sometimes that takes a while for them to feel comfortable with us, and that's okay. But, you know, it does take some coaxing. and then eventually, once they know that they can trust us and that we're being respectful of their space and their home, if they are able, they will find ways to interact with us.
The event, again, is Friday, July 14th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Buckingham House, 6th Street in Newark.
So can I also add that we're having a silent auction?
Can you tell me anything about the silent auction?
Well, yes, we have a super duper feature item. It is an 1870s map drawn by, it's called a bird's eye view of downtown Newark.
Ah.
And it has never been reproduced for public consumption before. The copies that are in existence are very old and not in good shape at all, even though some are framed. So we had a photographic restorer scan it, make new a new image basically on his scans and restoration of the old map. And so we'll be selling those, but we'll also auction one in a framed, as a framed print. I think we're going to have them either signed or numbered. Is that right, Howard?
That is the goal.
Yeah, and so there's only going to be 100 printed.
Awesome.
And we'll have it there, along with several other items from area businesses. We've got some jewelry from Pews. We have a lot of gift certificates. Other items that, you know, might be of interest. Bicycle care kit, for instance. So, it's just a variety of stuff that we'll have.
Well, it seems that there is growing interest in, one, the paranormal, and two, in the historical stories of Newark. So I think this is going to be a very exciting event. The headline I see here is, are there really ghosts at the Licking County Historical Society? And we're going to find out the answer on Friday. So very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah.
So, and it's just $5 to get in. I see there was some RSVPs. Is that still?
Yes, if they want to call in and let us know, we're starting a list. It just kind of helps us of what to prepare for.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have 50 people or are we going to have 150 people?
Right.
It just helps us to prepare better.
Do we have a website for more information?
LCHSOhio.org, or they can contact us directly. Either we've posted it on Facebook, we have it on our website, and they can contact us directly at the Historical Society. And that number is...
So 740-345-4898.
All right, well, we're looking forward to it. Friday, July 14th, 6:30 to 8:30.